goodness, you're listening to Garden Planet with Selena and Karen.
Hello, everyone.
How's the summer going, guys?
Well, at this moment in time, yeah, pretty windy and rainy.
Yeah.
But it could be a different story when it goes to air, but yeah. But you know what's going to happen when everyone starts going back to school in February?
Yeah.
Boom. Then comes the heat wave. Do you find that?
Yeah.
And it's just like...
You don't want to do any work or school work.
And you're just basically trying to survive the sweat. Yeah. I know.
Well, today's topic is actually going to be a twofer. This is part one.
Oh, I like that.
Because...
Rhymes with hoofer.
Karen, you suggested a topic and I had no idea what it was. So you're going to have to explain it to everyone.
Well, that's not entirely true. You did so. Don't be so humble.
No, but I had to look up the word. I didn't know what it was.
Yeah, well, me too. And I was thinking, sounds simple enough, apart from the first word, which is syntropic. But the second word is agroforestry, which I thought, okay, agriculture, forest, sweet. I know a bit about that.
Syntropic agroforestry. I think you mentioned syntropic gardening, but
it's got various names. So sounds simple enough. Turns out this is a massive topic. It's a simple concept, but it's a bit like a forest.
Mm.
If you think of a forest, it looks simple enough and beautiful.
Yeah.
But underneath it all, it's a very complex network.
Yeah.
That kind of runs itself, surprisingly, and that's the beauty of this agriculture is that once established, it's pretty easy. Yeah. So it's a topic from my heart. I really believe in this. And after doing this research, I even more so think that this is a game changer in terms of saving humanity and saving the planet.
Wow.
So I apologize in advance if it does get a little bit long-winded, but I tried to make it simplified as much as possible.
Okay.
But
so when can I interrupt you for plant of the week?
Whenever you want. In fact, I think we'll do that mid.
Okay.
Session one, just to, you know, break the flow. And the plant of the week will definitely be happening.
So listen out for that. Now, syntropic, can you tell me how you came across this concept?
Oh, what a great question.
And what the word means.
I'm glad you asked. Well, I actually came across it watching Country Calendar.
Oh, yes.
On TV One. Maybe a few years ago. And it tweaked my interest. And it was the first time. There's a syntropic agroforest up north. There are a couple of people. I don't know, some people would refer to them as your hippie, but they're actually quite like knowledgeable and not that hippies aren't.
Are they scientific hippies?
They've got a really good establishment going. They run courses. They have a like highly productive piece of land. I think it's, I can't remember, the north of Whangarei. I can't remember the exact location, but
okay.
Yeah, definitely north, and it really inspired me. And then the name popped up. I think I wrote it down somewhere, and it popped up somewhere in my notes. And I was like, I'm going to discuss that. And I wrote it with you the other day, and you're like,
I don't know what it is.
What is it? So what is it? Right. So syntropic agroforestry, also called syntropic agriculture or successional agriculture. There's a few words for it. People, you know, how things go. But I'm going to refer to it as syntropic agroforestry. That's my fave. It's a method of growing food that harnesses the natural drive of nature for complexity, density and diversity with carefully orchestrated techniques to create human inclusive ecosystems. So already right there it's so basically food in a forest.
Because
forests are complex,
sounds
diverse and dense.
Is it similar to permaculture?
Syntropic, another great question. Mm. I knew that this would be perfect for you because you always have good questions. Syntropic agroforestry fits under the umbrella of permaculture.
Yes.
Where permaculture is focused on the entire design from inside and outside home to the waste, syntropic agroforestry is the design of the growing of the food forest area, although there's a bit more design and planning than a food forest. So a food forest is more, say you've got a little area where you've got mushrooms growing, you might have a random banana plant growing somewhere, and you just kind of, it's more of a foraging concept, whereas this is more...
Managed.
Okay. And orchestrated.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So essentially it's the growing of fruit, nut, vegetables and timber in one area, utilising the space and time things grow to replicate how nature's abundant forests grow.
Okay.
So you're working with the forest, and so say if you've got a shady area or maybe a damp area, you would go and plant whatever plants are suited.
Like willows or something.
Yeah, whatever. Yeah. So you just kind of go with the whole landscape of it all, rather than cutting everything down and planting cash crops.
Yeah.
Okay. So it's working with the land rather than attacking it. In some tropic agroforestry, for instance, holes become nests, seeds become genes, weeding becomes harvesting, the competition gives way to cooperation, and pests and diseases are seen as the agents from the Department of Optimization of Life Processes. So everything's looked upon with quite a different eyes.
Oh, okay.
Syntropic agroforestry can create a livelihood that is economically viable, climate resilient and regenerative. I got those words from that farm, syntropic farm I was telling you about up north that was on Country Calendar on TV. As a general rule, a syntropic forest is dense, diverse and well adapted to its environment. This means you want lots of living things and you want them to be different.
Okay, so no big pine plantations.
No. You want diversity. So let's talk about the first word, which is where probably my last Sunday went trying to decipher this. Syntropic or syntropy. So syntropy is the opposite of entropy. Some of you may who have taken sciences at school may be familiar with that term.
Mm-hmm.
Entropy is associated with disorder and uncertainty and is well known as the continuous expansion of the universe.
Yes.
I didn't know that, but that's what it said on that website.
That blows my mind.
That expansion is in fact a process of decay, and it is entropy that brings something like a solar system, which at one time had an order, harmony and rhythm, into an unpredictable and chaotic field of decaying space objects.
Oh.
But syntropy is not just the opposite of entropy, it is its dancing partner. One cannot exist without the other. Syntropy is the coming together of life, of new ways of being, which emerge from the chaos and decay of entropy. Syntropy is the force that takes scattered space dust and compresses it into a new star, new planets, a new arm of a spiral galaxy.
Ooh,
in space, syntropy is gravity. In time, syntropy is evolution. Among humans, syntropy is love.
Wow.
So cool, huh?
So appropriate for garden planet. Maybe we could, like, get another planet out of this.
they're forming all around us, so it seems. In our cultural obsession with order, predictability and cleanliness, we seem to have become repulsed by any sign of entropy. Let's take the example of one of the most urgent threats to human life on Earth right now, the massive degradation of topsoil. Every food we have ever eaten came into existence because there was topsoil on the earth that took around 500 years per inch to develop. This soil developed because over time vegetation and all kinds of biomass have decayed, because insects and fungi have broken down what used to be alive, all of which turned it into another form of life, fertile soil, rich enough in the nutrients that it provides for the entire population of humanity to date. The creation of topsoil is a syntropic process, and you and I exist because of it.
Yay!
So, syntropy. That's that.
So when we're composting, we're kind of doing
syntropy. It's like syntropy and entropy
yeah,
all working together. Yeah. It's fascinating.
Wow.
So, yes, it is a big... what's the word? What's the brain word? Like it's, I don't want to say a heavy topic. I enjoy this topic,
wide.
But yeah, it's broad, and yeah, there's a lot going on.
All
it's a bit like a compost heap. There's a lot going on, but well worth knowing, right?
Yeah.
So I'll just talk about a man called Ernst Gotsch, and I apologise, Ernst, if I am not saying that correctly. He is the pioneer of syntropic agroforestry. Uh-huh. He's a Swiss farmer and researcher, and what he did was he took land in Brazil during the 80s, considered hopelessly degraded, and turned it into a thriving agroforest renowned for its award-winning cacao plant.
Wow.
It is considered notable because in a matter of years it was restored to levels of biodiversity and productivity that have been compared to that of untouched forest regions in the Amazon.
That's sort of like Eden Garden Project, but he sort of made it forest to the originals. Well,
they basically just gave him this land and said they'd tried farming it, you cut everything down. I think there's a few, you know, like the livestock on there, and then he just said, yep, great, thank you very much, I can work with this, and off he went. So the key principles that Gotsch used are this, and I got this from Wikipedia. They are process-based, not input-based. So rather than seeking to add nutrients from outside sources, syntropic agriculture mimics and accelerates natural succession processes in order to capture carbon, water, nutrients and diversity. Another principle he used was heavy pruning to add biomass to the soil, retain soil moisture, open up the canopy and increase carbon capture and transpiration. Water is planted by introducing plants that store water and increase transpiration. And one other principle we used was turn our enemies into our friends. Farmers should look for plants that are green all year and plant many of these, even in severe drought, especially weeds. Eucalypts, for instance, can help protect and foster less robust species and produce much organic matter quickly to cover and rebuild the soil.
Did he have like bare land, or was it just land that was deemed useless?
I looked at pictures. It was like basically an abandoned farm where like they just weren't getting the production that any farm wants.
Yeah.
It looked to me, looking at the pictures, just like a grassy, sort of dead,
weedy.
Yeah.
What's that
area?
I'm thinking of his water plants that you mentioned.
Oh, yeah.
Did he get those from outside, or were they already there and he was...
I didn't really get into... I guess he probably, being in Brazil, it wouldn't have been hard to find... well, I don't know, what's the state of the jungle these days? But, yeah, he probably just got, like, a whole group of people. I think there was a fair bit of manpower required at the beginning, and just started with like seedlings and transplanted plants and just went from there and started small and just built it up. And now when you look at the picture, it's like it does look like the Amazon jungle. It's crazy.
It sounds kind of like, you know, those restoration islands, the conservation saves to Tiri Tiri Matanga and all that, where it was just nothing, and then they all got these seeds, and then the birds started like
very similar concept, the only difference being that he's got a cacao plantation in amongst all this, and it's like world renowned cacao plants apparently, like his business is booming.
Cacao is,
so he's making a living.
Chocolate.
And but then also the land is thriving and healthy as well. So it's like...
Just as productive as an industrial
one. Yeah, that's right. And I'll tell you what, let's break things up a bit with the plant of the week, and then I'll talk to you a bit about the last thing I wanted to just talk in this session about, which was does it work?
All right, we'll find out.
And, yeah, cool. That's that. So, plan of the week.
Of all the saddest words that I have ever heard, the saddest is a story told me by a bird. It's been about an hour chatting with a flower, and here's the tale the flower told. Quote, I'm a lonely little petunia and an onion.
Okay, our plan of the week, sorry, it's not cacao, it's blueberries.
Oh, that's all right. Yum. Do you like blueberries?
Yes, and at this time of year, we'll be picking them, beautiful.
And I think now is the time, because I always like to pop a punnet in my trolley when I go shopping.
Yeah.
I should be picking, though. That'd be better. But I feel like it's probably nearing the end, because I noticed a few getting a little bit mouldy in the air. And
We by this time this goes to air, they might be all over, but just to make get us a bit more aware of food in the forest. I mean, blueberries are tree type, bush. Some are tree type and some are bushy. So they're perennial, like woody, shrubs. And so they're not like crops that you would just grow one year and then have to regrow again.
Oh, right. That's good to know.
So that fits in with our forestry.
Totally. But then in saying that, in the forest, it's not all perennials. Every plant has its purpose. Annuals, actually, in the grand scheme of things, have a reason. Apparently there's a reason for everything. Oh. But, hey, what I learned was, like, there's blueberry trees. Like, how...
Okay, so...
How high do they get? I didn't realise that.
There are different varieties. The two main varieties are high bush and rabbit eyes. I think the high bush are the, you know, the taller ones.
Oh, right.
They thrive in acid soil.
Okay.
And birds love them.
Yes.
But I have not had much luck growing blueberries.
Neither.
Up here in Auckland. I think it's too warm for them.
Oh, okay.
They need a bit of chill to set the berries.
Right, right.
But if you are going to try and grow them, rabbit eye ones are for the warmer climates.
Okay.
Now, I'm not sure why they're called rabbit eyes. I suppose the berries kind of look like rabbit eyes. I don't know.
I can't really think what a rabbit eye looks like. Maybe. They're quite like... what's the word? A little bit bulgy?
Yeah,
like
bulgy.
Cute. Oh, yeah.
The recommendation is to have at least two of the same variety so they pollinate to each other.
Oh, yes.
Grow a variety of them, but you need, like, don't just plant one. and so they love acid soil, so... If your soil isn't naturally acid, you can add a mulch like pine needles. They love that. Or coffee grounds to keep them happy. Now, I'd avoid like putting any lime or anything like that.
Oh, right. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
And with, you know, with just a quick question.
Yeah.
While it's on my brain. You know how you were saying you had to have like a couple of plants?
Yeah.
Do you know if they're like male or female? Are they all like... The male and female parts
Male and female, okay. But they need the sort of diversity in case... Because if you just have one plant, and even if it's sort of self-fertile, it, what do you call it, hedges your bet if you have another one sort of nearby so they can, you know,
communicate
with each other.
We've only got one at the community garden, I believe.
Do we have two?
We've got that one that you planted, I think, on the edge.
We may need to plant a few more.
I don't really see them.
They're not doing that well, unfortunately. Mm. Maybe it is our soil or it's our climate. It's not, maybe not.
Mm.
Not
or a bit of, yeah, both, bit of both, yeah.
You don't need to prune them that much, only when they get a bit old and you want to just... do a tidy up.
Mm-hmm. Because they're not fast growing, are they?
No, no. It says like after 4 years, maybe you can give them a bit of...
And how big does, like, would you expect like a full... bush, blueberry bush to get? Is it like maybe a metre?
Maybe about 1.5 to 2 metres.
I honestly can't recall ever seeing one. I've never picked blueberries. Oh. I've always picked boysenberries, you know, berry fruits, strawberries, but...
There's blueberry picking down near Hamilton.
Oh, well, shame on me, because I'm from the Waikato.
Ngātia, there's whole fields that you can pick your own.
Mm.
And they grow them in the sort of the peaty soil. They're quite like low... I suppose it's well drained, but it's acid.
I have read, actually in a novel, that Hamilton was built on, a good chunk of Hamilton is built on like peat swamps.
Oh, okay.
And there was like a lot of work, a lot of people back in the, 1900s got work burning all the whatever plants grew there to fill it in for housing and development. Yeah.
I've never read a novel since.
Totally. It was such a random novel. It was called Paddy's Puzzle. Okay. Really good read, by the way.
I'd have to look that one up.
You'll enjoy that. But, yeah, that ties in with what you're saying. So, because peat, I think's quite acidic.
For us gardeners who don't live on
peat.
Maybe you want to give it a go in a pot, although they tend to dry out a lot in pots, but
tell me about it.
I think further south of Auckland, they like it a bit better. A tip, use netting so that the birds don't get on the blueberries.
Yeah, for sure. They love them. They're like the perfect little size for a beak, blueberries. Yeah, I know.
And pick them and then you can freeze like the abundant blueberries you get. Use them in muffins, pancakes.
Yeah, they freeze really well.
Pavlova, I've just been having them with ice cream.
Blueberry muffin.
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome.
So that's blueberries. So a good, a plant for your, if you're doing a food forest, maybe.
Mm.
Yeah.
Well, I think you can plant whatever you want, depending on the terrain in a food forest. Yeah. So,
try and get the right microclimate for it and you'll be sweet.
Yeah, especially you got listeners down in the Waikato there.
No excuses.
Down in the bogs.
Birds, if they happen to like them and they pull out the seeds, you might find like, hey, what are these blueberry seedlings here?
Yeah.
I don't know if that happens very often, but birds just love berries and they're perfect fruit for them. So even if you don't get to eat them, you'll be attracting birds.
You'll be giving them a treat.
Yeah.
Awesome. Oh, well. So that's the blueberry?
Yeah.
Just awesome. I thought before we get into my last little segment for today's session on agroforestry, I thought I'd play an appropriate song in the middle to lead us in. So that was Deep Forest Sweet Lullaby by Deep Forest.
Haven't heard that in ages.
Hope you enjoyed. So, back to the question.
Yeah, does it work?
Yes, it does. Numerous centropic farms are thriving all over the planet. For example, a study comparing Ernst Cacao Farm to neighbouring conventional farms found that has produced similar cacao yields whilst needing no fertilisers or pesticides. Yay. Mm. There are positive studies from Bolivia as well. A centropic orange tree system produced significantly higher yields than a similar monoculture farm. That monoculture farm had twice as much aborted fruit due to fruit flies.
Okay.
And another study, a comparison of a centropic cacao system to a monoculture farm, found that the return on labour was nearly twice as much from the centropic farm. So it's looking good. It looks like a promising way to go, and it's giving me hope.
Yeah.
How to feed people sustainably.
Mm.
Yeah. So in the next Garden Planet episode, we will be continuing on with this. We're going to look at pros and cons of centropic agroforestry, a bit more about the methodology, okay, so get your notebooks out, and how it compares to organic farming.
Oh, okay.
So there's a few comparisons there that definitely need to be noted.
Wonderful.
So that's what we'll be looking at next week.
I really want to go up to that.
Part two.
Organics. Not organic. Centropic.
Yeah, me too. Let's do it.
Place up north.
Let's do it. Book it in.
Okay, folks. Well, look on the Facebook group for the links. We'll put them there. And happy gardening, everyone.
All right, guys. Take care.
Everyone, that's all we have time for. Come back next week for more great gardening tips at Garden Planet. You can find us on Facebook on our Garden Planet Facebook page, or email us at gardenplanetfm@gmail.com if you want to ask us anything about gardening. Happy gardening, everyone, and we'll be back next week.